Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The name of his new book is entitled When the Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. In studio with us is Daniel Pink. It's good to see you.
Great to be here, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Everything in life is about timing, isn't it?
A lot of life is about timing. The problem is that we make our timing decisions in a really haphazard way instead of making them based on the evidence.
So according to your book, is it about the timing, the time of day, and your body working? Explain it to me.
It's about a lot of different things. Basically, what we know is this, is that we're making all kinds of timing decisions in our life. When should I do certain kinds of work? When should I do other kinds of work? When should I exercise? When should I take a break?
Right.
When should I start a project?
When
should I end a project? Okay. And we make these decisions in a completely intuitive, guesswork kind of way. That's a mistake because over the last decade or so, what's emerged is this body of science that gives us some clues about how to make better, smarter, shrewder decisions about when to do things, as you say, at the unit of a day, at the unit of a life, in a career, in a project, in many, many dimensions of life.
So when is the best time? People are listening right now thinking, okay, when's the best time for me?
It depends on what you're doing. So we can talk about it at the day. What we know about the day.
Start at the beginning. Wake up in the morning.
You wake up in the morning, okay?
Yes.
What we know from a whole range of research is that there's a fairly predictable pattern over the course of a day. People tend to move through the day in three stages: a peak, a trough, and a recovery.
Right.
A peak, a trough, a recovery.
Shouldn't people know that at this stage in their life?
Yes and no. I mean, it's interesting. I think people might have a vague sense of it, but I don't think they know that very well. The other thing about it is that's not true for everybody. People who are night owls tend to move through in the reverse order: recovery, trough, peak. And what we know from the research is that during the peak, that's when we're most vigilant. That's when we should be doing our analytic work, work that requires heads down, focus, and attention, analyzing data, writing. During that trough, that early afternoon,
right,
all kinds of bad stuff happens then. If you look at hospitals, you're four times more likely to have an anesthesia error at 3 p.m. than at 9 a.m. If you look at colonoscopies, doctors find half as many polyps in afternoon exams as they do in morning exams for the same population. Standardized test scores go down.
So wait a second. Never go to the hospital between 1 and 3. Is that what you're telling me?
I am, actually.
Yes, you are.
Very, very seriously. This is true in my own...
You always want the first surgery in the morning.
Usually, yeah.
Okay.
But seriously, I do not let anybody in my family go to the hospital willingly or go to an important doctor's appointment in the afternoon. Period.
Don't do it.
The evidence is overwhelming. Hand washing in hospitals deteriorates significantly in the afternoon.
How does that happen?
It's required.
They just get lazy. People forget.
All kinds of things.
All of the above.
What we know from this science is this. Our abilities, our brain power doesn't stay the same throughout the day. It changes. It changes in predictable ways, and it can change in dramatic ways too. And so knowing how that works is the key to figuring out what's the right time to do certain things.
So how do people figure this out? Because if I look at myself, I peak in the morning, I peak at night. During the day, you mentioned middays, it's between 2 and 5 o'clock I get tired.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I'm ready for a nap.
Sure.
I could take a nap every day.
Sure. Well, there's actually some good research on naps showing that naps are actually much more beneficial than we think. Naps are really Zambonis for our brains.
Really?
Over the course of a day, we get all these nicks and scuffs on our ice, mental ice, and a nap can come along, smooth that all out.
But
the research tells us is that the ideal nap is surprisingly short. It's only about 10 to 20 minutes long.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Napping beyond that gives you sleep inertia, which is that groggy, boggy feeling you get when you wake up for a nap. There's actually an ideal kind of nap, which is basically have your very short nap. What I do is I put on noise-canceling headphones, set my timer for 25 minutes, and then have a giant cup of coffee. And then I'm serious, for real. Stick with me here, Pete.
So caffeine's okay.
Well, hold on. Here we go. So what we got. So I set my alarm for 25 minutes. I can usually fall asleep in 10. All right. My alarm goes off in 25 minutes. So I've gotten a 15-minute nap. That's right in that 15 to 20-minute window of
perfect.
Ideal. All
okay.
right. So I'm waking up. I don't have the sleep inertia. I don't have that fuzzy-headed feeling. Perfect length nap. No sleep inertia. When I'm waking up, though, it takes 25 minutes for caffeine to get into your bloodstream. And so that cup of coffee I had right at the outset, the caffeine is just entering my bloodstream. I get that double whammy of the Zamboni, the wakefulness, and the extra dose of caffeine. There's actually a lot of scientific papers on this. It's a technique known, and I'm not joking, as a nappuccino.
A scientifically ideal nap.
Okay. A short nap where you have a cup of coffee first.
I love that. Daniel Pink in studio with us. The book is entitled When, the Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. People are listening. I talked about my peak time. How can they find out their peak time? What is their peak?
So here's the thing. What you have to figure out is what's called your chronotype. Are you an early person or a morning person?
Right.
All right. And there's a very easy way to do it. We can figure it out for you right now in 30 seconds.
Okay? Go ahead.
So what we know is that some people are larks, early morning people. Some people are owls, evening people. Most of us are in between.
Okay.
So the back of the envelope way to figure it out is this. I want you to think about what's called a free day. All right. That's a day you don't have to wake up to an alarm clock. You're not massively sleep deprived.
Like a Saturday morning.
Yeah. Okay. A Saturday morning when you're not have a build belt of like massive sleep deprivation.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
What time would you typically go to sleep on a free day?
Free day, I'd go to sleep Friday night, maybe 10.
10? Okay. And what time would you typically wake up?
I'd wake up probably at 6:20 so I could work out by 7.
Okay. So 6:20. Let's call it 6. So what we're figuring out here, because it makes the math easier, what we're figuring out here is the midpoint of sleep. The midpoint of sleep.
Okay.
All right. So your midpoint of sleep, and this is on a free day, your midpoint of sleep is and that would be 2 a.m., which is quite early. And so what we know is that if your midpoint of sleep is before 3:30 a.m., you're probably a lark. If your midpoint of sleep is after 5:30 a.m., you're probably an owl. And if your midpoint of sleep is between those, you're probably what I call a third bird. Most of us are third birds. So about 15% of us are larks like you.
Okay.
20% of us are owls. Two-thirds of us are in the middle. And so for people in the middle and for larks, again, we move through the day, peak, trough, recovery. Typically, the morning is going to be your peak. The exact time in the morning, you have to play around with.
God, this is great stuff. People need to figure this out, don't they?
Totally. But the other thing about this is that final stage, the recovery stage, late in the afternoon for people like you and me,
right,
is actually really important because what we have is our mood goes back up, but we're less vigilant. All right? And that's a very important combination for certain kinds of things that we do at work. When your mood is higher and you're less vigilant, that makes it a good time for things like brainstorming, for creative kinds of work, for things that require a certain amount of mental looseness. You know, we've all been in brainstorming sessions where people are hypervigilant, and they're saying, that's a stupid idea, that's a stupid idea, that's a stupid idea. That's a terrible way to brainstorm. When you want, for brainstorming, iterative, insight kinds of tasks, you want to have that heightened mood and less vigilance. And so we should be steering our insight, creative, brainstorming kind of work for people like you and me later in the day. Again, analytic work in the peak, administrative work in the trough, insight work in the recovery.
What about people that aren't morning people?
Yeah. Okay. For owls. So yeah. Owls. Okay. First of all, owls have it harder. 80% of us are not owls. 20% of people who are owls have it hard. The world, especially the corporate world, is basically designed to crush their souls and suck the very life out of them. And it's very, very hard because those people are hitting their analytic peak late in the day,
four or five, and late.
And so
we're done. Business is done.
Right. And people like you and me, I mean, I'm toast. You know, like, I mean, literally at 8 o'clock at night, I'm not able to do any real kind of work.
Right.
And for some of those people, they're just getting going. So what they need to be in workplaces where they're able to do that, or they need to, many owls end up just basically bypassing large organizations to go work for themselves. So they have some control over their schedule. What we need to be kinder to owls in corporate America.
I don't know if that's going to happen. So best time to exercise if you're a morning person, in the morning.
So
if you're an owl person, afternoon?
It depends. For most of us, the research on exercise is pretty clear. Different times of day have different benefits. So morning exercise seems to be better for weight loss. It seems to be better for habit formation because you're less likely to get interrupted at your 7 a.m. workout than at a 5 p.m. workout.
Right.
And the other thing is that morning, as you know, exercise gives us a pretty enduring mood boost. And so if you exercise later in the day, you end up sleeping through some of that mood boost. So morning exercise is good. Again, habit formation, mood boost, and weight loss. Afternoon exercise, early evening exercise is good for other things. It's good for avoiding injury. We're more likely to avoid injury that time of day because our body temperatures are higher. We're literally more warmed up. It's good for performance. So at that time of day, our lung function is higher. Our hand-eye coordination is better. Our speed is greater. So there's a disproportionate number of world records and speed events that were set between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Right.
And people also report enjoying it more. They find afternoon, early evening exercise less effortful.
I love books like this. And what you have at the end of each chapter is a summary and kind of a test.
Sure, right. Yeah, what I tried to do.
Which is smart.
What I tried to do, well, here's what I tried to do. Okay, there's some real science here. And so the book is about science. But what I find as a reader frustrating is that if it's a book about science, like, okay, this is really interesting. What do I do about it? And they don't tell me. So what I'm trying to do here is, here's the science, and here's what you should do about it.
So people need to figure out where their peak is.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. And if you know your peak, that's when you got to get busy.
And you need to be intentional about doing the right work at the right time and intentional about not doing intentional about not doing administrative work during your best hours. Listen, I'm a writer, okay? I'm a writer who, I'm not a lark, but I'm larky, okay? My writing, I should do my writing in the morning. And there have been plenty of days in my life when I've come in to do my writing, I begin by checking my email.
Right.
And then I check some more email.
And you got to clean, some laundry. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Then I got to put some laundry in. Oh, wait, there's an extra muffin. I think I'll have that. And then, and then it's like, oh, there's probably something going on Twitter. And then, four ESPN highlight reels later, it's lunchtime.
Yeah. Right.
And I haven't gotten it done. And I come back to do my writing, which is tough work, in the trough, which is the worst time of day to do it. So we have to be intentional about when we do what we do.
This is great stuff. Daniel Pink, When the Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, they can get the book. Everywhere?
Yeah, anywhere books are sold.
And you have a connection to Chicago, right?
Oh, many connections. I'm the son of two Chicagoans. My mother grew up on the west side in Austin. My father grew up on the north side in Rogers Park. I'm a graduate of Northwestern University. So,
and you grew up in D.C., but
I grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
So that explains my exciting personality.
Got it. Thank you for coming in. This is a great book.
Thanks, Pete.